Hello, my name is Tony Reid. Welcome to GAY, a radio programme for LGBTI people and their friends on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM and other access radio stations around New Zealand. Today I continue with my review of Luke Evans' very good readable autobiography, Boy from the Valleys, My Unexpected Journey. And we got to the stage where he was fully out, working in musical theatre, not having a terribly successful career about it, and approaching the age of 30 without any real sign and thinking he should give up. Somebody recommends that he try for a play at the Donmar Theatre. Despite his own agent saying it's well beyond his reach, he organises it himself and he gets a part in a play called Small Change. It's a Welsh play with just four actors in it. And he said, in April 2008, he's 29 by now, Small Change opened for a three-month run at Donmar. The viewers loved it. I was nominated for Outstanding Newcomer at the Evening Standard Theatre Awards, which was ironic as I'd been doing theatre for 8 years by this point. But more was to follow. Hollywood agents picked him up and decided he was just what they were looking for. I don't know how it happened, but by some magical combination of luck, timing and fate seemed to have put me on a new and undreamed of path. In a matter of weeks, I had gone from deciding to leave acting for good to signing with the biggest talent agency in the world. And then we get to Act 3 of the book, and the rest of his career, which is the bit you'd all have heard of, is only about a third of the book. But he does point out that this isn't meant to be a full autobiography because he's only 45 now and still very active, but he's wanting to talk about his background and things. The first Hollywood blockbuster he was in was Clash of the Titans in 2010. It sets a passion for butch action roles and it opened doors. He ended up by doing four movies in that year, and for the first few years of his film career, he was very busy. There was one English film that he mentioned, Tamara Drew, which I do remember seeing on television, where he definitely caught the eye, and one heard that he was definitely gay on the grapevine there. But that was causing problems, which he's very open about. Until Hollywood came knocking, I'd been living as a gay man for well over 10 years. My family, friends and colleagues knew who I was, so my sexuality wasn't something I ever had to think about. But when I started working in movies, it suddenly became an issue again, because at that time you just didn't get openly gay actors playing straight romantic leads. My sexuality became a thing to be handled and strategized, rather than simply being another aspect of my identity, like having green eyes or being Welsh. Working in this industry can be tough, but in the 15 years I've been in movies, it has been the struggle to balance my desire to live an authentic life with the commercial pressures and often old-fashioned attitudes of Hollywood. That has been by far the biggest challenge. And he told his new agent, which was the agent that had recommended him. He'd obviously dumped the previous agent who told him he wasn't capable of it at all. I told Duncan there were articles about there in which I talked about being gay, but he assured me that we'd know when we needed to make a point of talking about my sexuality, and in the meantime it would be a distraction to have it at the forefront of the conversation. I didn't owe anyone an explanation. People were casting me in these straight macho roles, and the fact that they believed in me as those characters was all that mattered. I totally got it. It was a business decision. We needed to keep people's eyes on the right thing, which was my talent, my movies. Nevertheless, it was playing on my mind that if the truth was made public, or if, God forbid, someone sold a story about me, then this amazing new career I'd never thought possible could be snatched away simply because of who I was. It was the same feeling I had before coming out to my parents, that I could lose everything because of something I had no control over and was actually very proud of. All of a sudden, there was a shame attached to being gay again. At the age of 30, after everything I'd gone through to be true to myself, I decided not to talk about this key aspect of my identity. I wasn't at all comfortable with this, but at the time I believed it was the only way I'd be able to build an industry that historically hadn't been welcoming to gay people. My team were positioning me very strategically, as the heartthrob, the romantic lead, the action hero. Could I achieve all that as an openly gay man? I had no idea. There was no one else in the industry I could look to and think, ah, that's how that particular gay actor navigated it. But it was a bit difficult. You know, he had boyfriends at the time, and they suddenly had to behave in a closeted way, and he was being referred to as a friend. One crunch came when he was going to the opening of the film Tamara Drew, and he took a female friend with him. I brought all my friends and family to the Tamara Drew premiere, including Lee and my parents, and I walked the red carpet with my friend Holly, primarily because she was the most glamorous person I knew. Later that night, Holly went to the bathroom at the after party and got talking to another woman who was washing her hands. "So you're here with Luke Evans?" she asked. Holly said yes and told her we were very old friends. She thought nothing more of it until a week later when an article appeared in the Daily Mail stated that Holly and I were dating. It turns out the woman who'd been chatting to in the bathroom was the newspaper's gossip columnist. Holly was mortified. "I didn't say we were boyfriend and girlfriend, I promise." "It didn't bother me at all. I'd never been tabloid gossip before, so I just thought it was funny. Perhaps if I'd handled things differently, if I knew what the impact of that one small article was going to be." But when that picture of me and Holly appeared in the newspaper after the Tamara Drew premiere, I told the rest of my management team that I was gay. My publicist told me not to worry, that they would make sure I wasn't ever put in a position where I was made to feel uncomfortable. So at that point it seemed to be, but eventually, he was eventually asked outright, and he said that he would never lie. And so it did eventually come out, and this was after he'd starred in a film called Dracula Untold, which was one of his biggest ones. And so to continue the problem with Hollywood, as it were, in the early years of my movie careers, rumours about my sexuality kept bubbling away, but because I was getting all these macho roles, they never went anywhere. The brighter a star shines, however, the more people want to hear about you. And 5 years into my movie career, that's exactly what had happened. All of a sudden, people started digging into the old press I'd done years before, and speculation about my private life exploded online. I knew it was coming, but what I hadn't been prepared for was the vitriol and anger from other gay people. I was accused of closeting myself just because of that one fake article about me and Holly. There were comments like, "I hope he dies of AIDS," really horrid, hurtful stuff. People wrote that I should be ashamed of myself, which particularly infuriated me. They had no idea what I'd been through, how I'd had to leave home at 16, purely because I wasn't prepared to deny my sexuality. Yet as terrifying as it was thinking that no more movie offers would come and my career could be over, I also knew I had to stand by who I was. So he was asked directly. I can remember that because I remember sort of we all knew he was gay, but then when they approached his agent, "Is it true he's gay?" sort of thing, once he became a bigger star, the agent was doing what agents often do and was dithering and not answering properly and hedging about it. But he never denied it. And he looked forward to when his career was safe enough to be more open again. And gradually, he was able to come out more and more. He was asked outright about his sexuality by an American magazine. "I told the journalist I was glad people would look at me and see someone who was happy living his life and enjoying his career. It was a relief to be able to finally address the issue in public. The truth was out, I was out. I just hoped that audiences in the industry would accept me for who I was and that I'd be able to continue with a career that I had loved." On the back of that interview, there was an article in Time magazine saying it would be easy to criticise me for not being more forthcoming about my sexuality, but the journalist acknowledged that I was working in an industry where queerness is a major strike against a star, and described my refusal to deny my sexuality as a way forward. The gist of it was, Luke may be doing this a little slower and less loudly than we would have wanted, but what he is doing is good. That article was a turning point for me. I'd been constantly beaten up online about the fact that I wasn't out there shouting for the rooftops about my sexuality, but that hadn't been the sort of person I was before I was famous. So why would I change my personality now? The writer clearly grasped the fact that I was out there on my own, trying to be myself despite the challenges I faced, and I should be credited for that. Once the Time article came out, I knew there was no going back. I had to own this now, and if it affected my casting, so be it. And it made me realise that I didn't need to be waving a flag at the front of a gay pride parade to send a message. Just being out there and living my life authentically, that was enough of a message in itself. Nowadays, I play straight and gay roles, which is just as it should be. Right now I'm playing a father fighting monsters with my daughter. Before that I was a hard-nosed ex-con, and before that a gay man going through divorce. As far as I can tell, I don't think my career or casting has been affected, yet I'm still in a very small group of Hollywood actors who are openly gay. The industry clearly has some way to go before an actor's sexuality is entirely irrelevant. Would I still be closeted if I hadn't done that early press during Taboo? No, I don't think I would be, but would I have had the same career if I'd been upfront about my sexuality from the start? Would I have got Owen Shaw in Fast and Furious and the Dracula part? The sad truth of it is probably not. One important role of interest to us that he had at this time was, of course, in The Hobbit, and he spent quite a long while in New Zealand. In fact, he even had his parents over for a holiday while he was here. And he lived happily in Miramar for ages. He said at that time his career just kept getting bigger and bigger. And when he was offered the role in The Hobbit by Peter Jackson, he says, it was an awesome moment during those early years of my career. The roles kept getting bigger and bigger, and honestly, I couldn't understand how or why it was happening. With every offer, I would think, if this is going to be it, will this be the moment when it starts to platter? But he did get on well with in New Zealand and really enjoyed it. His comments even end with, and in case you don't know, Kiwis are the loveliest people on the planet, which is nice for us to know. But of course, one of the main things was that he was able to establish a friendship with Ian McKellen. Being around Ian McKellen was an absolute joy. I spent as much time with Ian as I could. We would go for long walks on Sundays when he'd talk about growing up in Lancashire with his sister, his life and incredible career, the jobs he'd done and the people he'd worked with over the years. He walked so fast it would be a struggle to keep up while having enough breath for the dozens of questions I wanted to ask him. I think he was proud that I wasn't hiding my sexuality from the rest of the cast, and also the fact that I was a gay man playing these macho action roles. We would have had such a laugh, Ian gently poking fun at me. Oh, look at you, you're going to be a big butch star. He was joyous to be around, and I love spending time with him. Another important role in his development was Beauty and the Beast in 2017, where he played Gaston. This was the live-action version of the very popular cartoon. So although initially he was a bit loath to do it because it was rather different to what he'd been doing, when his friends pointed out how their children reacted to the fact of him playing Gaston, he decided it would be a good thing. And it was his first real singing role in movies, and everybody discovered he could sing. This so often happens to actors who change and perhaps take more straight acting roles. People forget they can sing or dance or whatever. And so that really started his singing career again. We recorded my first album, At Last, at AIR Studios with Kylie's producer, Steve Anderson. And, of course, he chose all the songs he wanted to perform, including, of course, The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face. The recognition started with him being asked to perform at the Queen's 92nd birthday concert at the Royal Albert Hall, where he sang Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma. And he comments on how it's the first time he'd been able to sing with an orchestral accompaniment. And one of the people he meets up with is Nicole Scherzinger, who, of course, we've been talking about. And he did a TV special, which won him an award, and which came out in Christmas 2022. And it's complete on YouTube. And he sings and has guests, including Nicole Scherzinger, who he flew over from the States from his own money to do that. Another important development for him was his relationships. He'd had a number of relationships, some longer than others, but now he has had a partner for nearly 4 years, and it's a Spanish architect called Fran Thomas. And there you can see them Fortunately, Fran likes travel a lot, and of course Luke does travel the world, appearing in different, filming different films. So if he was with somebody who didn't like travelling, they'd rapidly get bored by never seeing him. But Fran likes to travel with him, and they get on very, very well. Fran is my best friend. We built a fashion business. We travelled together, and best of all, he's as close to his family as I am. That's probably why we didn't hesitate about getting our parents together, even though they don't speak the same language. I have so much respect for Fran. He is kind and loving and never has a bad word to say about anybody, which is an extraordinary quality. I'd like to say I'm the same, but it's hard at times. He is the cool air and the warm water in our relationship, while I'm the fire and lightning. It works because we balance each other, and we have a very fun, fulfilled life together. And if you look at their Instagram pages, that you can see the sort of life they're involved in. Yes, a pretty privileged life in many ways, but both working very hard in their separate ways. In a sense, this book comes full circle because at the beginning, the introduction, he's talking about his return to the theatre. And he really wanted to return to the theatre, but was rather nervous about what to do because he hadn't been on the stage for so long. Then he had a successful run in a West End play called Backstairs Billy, about the Queen Mother's servant, where he played Backstairs Billy with Dame Penelope Wilton as the Queen Mother. That was in autumn 2023, and it was a success, and he hopes for more. But as you say, it really sort of ends, the book really ends in the middle of his career with him stating the subsequent thing. He's been interviewed loads of times about different aspects of the book, both about his childhood, etc., as a Jehovah's Witness, as a young man, etc., and his extraordinary career from 2010 onwards. So I thought we'd end up with another piece of music. And, of course, it had to really be Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. And the film soundtrack is there on YouTube, but he just sings a bit. Then all the chorus take over and there's a great big dancing sequence, and not something that you could really appreciate fully on radio. So I looked around and I discovered another one which just fits the bill. It's introduced by the composer of the music, Alan Menken, who is at the piano and invites two people up to sing the next song. And Luke Evans, as Gaston, and Josh Gad, as his sidekick, and they sing a rather confused but very amusing version of the Gaston song. And you'll hear a third person, and that's Alan Menken, not only playing the piano, but joining in the singing as well. So after the rather sentimental end of part one, with him singing the Roberta Flack song, here is probably his most famous number because of the film. We'll close with Luke Evans, Josh Gad and Alan Menken singing all about Gaston.
So for this next song, I'm going to need some help, I think. I'm going to ask some guys to come out here now.
Looking so down in the dumps. Every guy here'd love to be you, Gaston, even when taking your lumps. There's no man in town as admired as you. You're everyone's favorite guy. Everyone's awed and inspired by you. And it's not very hard to see why.
No one's slick as Gaston, no one's quick as Gaston, no one's neck's as incredibly thick as Gaston, as a manly man, as a manly,
sorry, I'll teach you this one,
perfect up your paragons, your line, you can tell any Tom, Dick or Stanley, and they'll tell you whose team they prefer to be on.
Plays darts like Gaston, who breaks hearts like Gaston,
who's much more than the sum of his parts like Gaston.
As a specimen, yes, I'm intimidating.
My word, I got that Gaston.
Thank you.
I needed encouragement. Thank you, LeFou.
Well, there's no one as easy to bolster as you.
Whoop! No one fights like Gaston, downs his lights like Gaston.
In a wrestling match, nobody bites like Gaston.
When I hunt, I sneak up with my quiver.
Ooh.
And beasts of the field say a prayer. First, I carefully aim for the liver. And I shoot from behind.
Is that fair?
I don't care.
No one hits like Gaston, matches wits like Gaston.
In a spitting match, nobody spits like Gaston.
I'm especially good at expectorating.
10 points for Gaston.
When I was a lad, I ate 4 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. And now that I'm grown, I eat 5 dozen eggs, so I'm roughly the size of a barge.
Who has brains like Gaston, entertains like Gaston?
Who can make up these endless refrains like Gaston? I use antlers in all of my decorating.
Say it again. A man among men, and then say it once more. Who's a hero next door? Who's a super success? Don't you know? Can't you guess? Ask his friends and his 5 hangers on. There's just one guy in town who's got all of it down,
and his name's Gast. I believe there's another T after the first. I can't remember because of this week's news cycle, which has been very distracting to me.
Gaston!
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.